Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And this is the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for the needlework artist.
Artists. Yep. Definitely artists.
We have so many things going on here. All right, so just the schedule stuff. We got to get the schedule stuff in place because several changes coming up. So no stitch hour tonight, Wednesday night, because I'm going to grandson Christmas program.
Yes. Natalie. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Cooper's playing piano.
Woohoo!
Now, he's been playing piano for, what, maybe 3 weeks, 4 weeks? And the fact that they're actually having them do something is going to be interesting. So, I don't know. But he's been practicing, so we'll see.
It'll be fun.
Yep.
That'll be great.
Yep. And what our daughter Sarah said, I forget when it starts, but she said, and she's had the program described to her as brief. So we'll see. Of course, I think it's pre-K through first grade or something like that. So those kids won't last more than half an hour anyway.
No, they won't.
Yep.
Yeah. Always a fun time, though.
Yep.
Doing those recitals. Always fun.
Yep. And many more of those to come. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. Yep.
So no stitch hour tonight. Next week, we will have a podcast, and we will have Stitch Hour, and Natalie Dupuy will be with us, and we get to look through her whip suitcase, and she has some other things planned for us.
Ooh.
So, yeah, her trip to Scotland.
Yes.
She has stories to tell from that, and she was going to make a list. So if there's a list coming, then we have a full hour plus of Natalie mm-hmm. Dupuy stuff. So
yes.
Join us 8 o'clock on the 14th. A week from tonight, Natalie Dupuy, and we'll have some fun. Always a great time with Natalie.
Yes. Always learn things, yeah.
Then that's the last stitch hour until January 11. So we're taking our normal holiday break. So next week will be the 14th, and then that will be the last stitch hour until January 11. So it seems like a lengthy break, but it's the way the holidays fall and blah, blah, blah. So...
Yeah. And you can always go back if you're bored. You can go back and watch some of the old ones. I actually did that the other day, and because I was trying to remember something that Kim Young had shown on one of our shows, and I went back and watched one of her shows, which was fun, where she was showing her samplers.
Mm.
So you know, there's lots of material for you to watch and listen to. And
yeah, there's easily got to be 600 shows of one form or another that are available for listening or watching. Yes. So unless you're from day one, there's plenty.
Right.
So that will be it. Sunday, we have Orna Willis. And it'll be the fourth time for Orna Willis, and always a treat. She is just one of the best designers in the business. County Canvas, yes. Always fun to talk to. So that'll be Sunday. And then the 18th, Sunday the 18th, will be our last Sunday show until the 8th, January 8th. We'll be back with the Sunday show. So we'll take a break also with that. Sharon Wells. Did we have fun talking to Sharon Wells or what?
Oh, my. She got my little mind a-spinning. And literally, not spinning wool, but now I want to wash wool and dye wool and play with wool fleece. And
yep.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, Sharon Wells from Ireland, she does really landscape paintings with needle felting,
yes.
Felting that she collects the fleece and dyes it and preps it and everything. And she is an amazing woman. So,
Yes.
And yeah. All the while we're recording and talking to her, I can just feel Bess wheels turning.
Yes. Yeah, she was just so much fun to talk to. And, I found out one of my friends has a fleece.
Oh,
so she is, she said, well, how much should I wash? So, she's going to wash it for us, and then we are going to get together and dye. Yes, just dye it. Get it all. And then I've got to get some jacquard dyes for us, and then we're going to have a little dye session.
Outstanding. Yeah, because you got to get the lanolin. We learned from Sharon, you got to get the lanolin out of the fleece so that it'll the wool will accept the dye. So that's part of the process. So, and don't dump the lanolin-infested water down the drain because...
Yes. That could cause serious problems.
Yep. Not only your trap, but your line down the way will get plugged up in a hurry. So don't do it.
Yes, don't do it.
But that was cool to learn that, you know, don't dump it down the drain, but dump it in the garden because it's good nutrients for the plants. So
yes, I was surprised to hear that because I didn't think it would be. But yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so this is all right up your alley.
Yes.
Fertilizer for the garden, fleece, dyeing.
Right.
Yeah.
And needle felting. I actually do have a needle felting project started, not finished, that I'm like, oh, I need to pull that out.
I literally could. I could just feel your wheel spinning that entire time we talked to her.
I just was like, oh, and you do what? Oh, I got to go do this. I got to go play. I'm gone. I'll talk to you later.
I know. I thought that. Yeah. All of a sudden, Beth just signs off. I'm out of here.
I got to go play.
Yep. So two good ones coming up. Sunday, Orna Willis. And now this is the fourth one with Orna Willis. So if you haven't, don't know who she is. There's three others who talk about where we talk about what she does and how she does it. So we're going to talk about designs and how she approaches things. And she has a new one and blah, blah, blah. So that's Sunday. And she is just, it's always fun to talk with her. And then Sharon Wells on the 18th. And then that will be our last Sunday show until the 8th. And again, as Beth mentioned, there are plenty of designer interviews to listen to if you need something to listen to.
Right.
Yep. Now, so all of that is, so we take our break until the 8th, but we will be on January 1. We will do a live show at 2 Eastern on the YouTube channel because it's Jennifer's 50th birthday.
And we got to celebrate that.
Yeah.
That's a momentous occasion.
Right. Plus, Jennifer just can't wait to wear a tiara again. So
I know.
Yep. So that will be at 2 o'clock Eastern on New Year's Day. We'll just be stitching and having a good time. So join us then. And if you're one of those who would just soon not have football on, join us for, and I'm one who wants the football on, but I'll sacrifice, I'll pay the price.
That is so kind. So kind of you. So kind.
It's what I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 2 o'clock Eastern New Year's Day, mark that down. To join us to just have a gathering to kick off the year and celebrate Jennifer's birthday. And, you're not supposed to say how old a woman is, but it's been made quite clear it's 50 years. So, whatever.
Right. You know, I don't think Jennifer cares.
I don't either. I don't either. So do join us for that. And then we'll be back on the 8th. So a little bit of a break, actually a nice little break. And then back on the 8th with that one exception. Then we are going to have a change in our schedule starting after the 8th when we come back. And we're going to cut back from 3 shows to 2 shows a week. And,
doing these takes a lot of time. I was talking to someone, they're like, you're doing something with Fiber Talk again? And I'm like, yeah, you got to do the prep work. And all I'm doing just basic stuff. I'm not at your end where you're loading these podcasts to the site, doing editing. That all takes a lot of time. And it's not just hit the button and run and then throw it up on YouTube. It there's work to it. And it's cutting into your stitching time, I think.
Well, that's cutting into time in general. The Wednesday one is the one where we got a podcast and then a show to the point where many weeks Wednesday is completely devoted to Fiber Talk for all intents and purposes, and so we just got to dial that back. So we're going to have a new schedule. This is the way it's set up for right now. We're going to do midweek chats like this podcast on the first and third Wednesdays, and then the second and fourth Wednesdays we'll do stitch hours. So there'll be a podcast, a Wednesday podcast 2 weeks of the month, and a Stitch Hour 2 weeks of the month. So that allows us to be two shows a week. And I feel bad, you know, it's a decision was not easy because we have a loyal group of 85-ish people who show up every Wednesday night. And I'm so, well, we're all really appreciative of that group and we have so much fun. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know for a lot of people, I've heard from a lot of people that it's you know, a highlight of their week or a thing of the week that they point to. And I feel bad cutting out two of those, but, yeah, it's got to free up some
hard.
Time.
Yeah. You got to free up some time and it just needs to be done. You know, most people don't put up two, like we're doing, like the Floss Two people. I mean, if they put up one a week, you know, they're pretty regular, but you know, we were doing three a week and that becomes quite the time crunch.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And you know, and that's, you know, we're taking a break here between now and the 8th, but that doesn't mean that we're not working on Fiber Talk because we have interviews scheduled during that time. So it doesn't stop. I mean, there's no way you can have a designer interview every Sunday and let up. You have to keep going at it.
Right.
And
right.
many who have tried to do it and keep up that kind of schedule learn quickly that you really have to stay after it. But we have to cut back on a show just for sanity's sake and some weeks just to prevent burnout.
Right.
It just gets to be a lot. So,
right. Yeah. And I think it'll make those Wednesday live shows, you know, it'll be a lot of fun. I think that'll still having them because then we can show work like we do. That's it is a fun group to get together and see what everyone's chatting about on the chat. And it's fun.
Yeah. So that'll be coming in January. The midweek chats, the first and third Wednesdays and the Stitch Hours, the second and fourth Wednesdays. And then we'll continue with the Sunday interviews every week. I mean, we're not changing that, but we just need to cut back. So that's coming up. And we'll remind people between now and then several times. But anyway.
Right. Right.
Speaking of Wednesday night, we got great news. Apparently, several of you people already knew, was news to me, that someone has acquired the rights or whatever to continue making a JustaFrame.
Yes.
I was really pumped up about that. I did not know that, and you guys, several of you already knew about it. It's like, where have I been?
Right, right. But, yeah, and I know that was – you guys were joking around about my doing my inventory, but that's one of the things I'd like to inventory is like, okay, what stretcher bars do I have?
Yeah.
And so which ones do I need to add? Because I do, you know, sometimes you want to start a project and to have those Adjust-A-Frames are just fabulous to put a long-term project on. They really hold it tight and you can make your canvas nice and tight. I don't know. I'm going to be placing an order.
Yep. Me too. I'm going to do the same inventory and see what sizes I have missing and get them. Now, in our defense, we don't know who the people are. The lady who wrote to me right after we learned that Gary was going to stop doing it for health reasons, and then he passed away within just a few weeks after that, so he had some serious issues and really a sad thing. But the lady who contacted me to try and get in touch with Gary to pick up, because they wanted to make them, they were not the ones that are now making them. Mm-hmm. Someone else is. So we don't know who that is. But the way that you get the price list and get connected with them is you write to adjustaframesales@gmail.com. So all one word, adjustaframes, adjustaframesales@gmail.com. And then they'll send you a price list and then you order from there. So we're assuming it's the same design or better, same mm-hmm. quality, all those things. But we don't know because we haven't ordered yet. So
yet. Yes. The big yet. So, yeah, and if you do, let them know you heard about it from us, and then let us know how you like them.
Yeah,
both. You get exactly. yours before we manage to order ours. Let us know.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we want to know, and definitely always try to let people know that FiberTalk enabled you to spend your money.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. We're good at that.
Yeah, we're professionals, and we like to know.
Yeah, we because then maybe we want to spend our money more money too. Mm-hmm. You know.
Mm-hmm. And if you ever have money sitting around you'd like to spend, you know, contact us. We can help.
Always. Yeah. We're always here for you. Always.
We know 1,000 ways to spend your money.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So excited about that, because I really was sad when those went away as an option, because I just think they're we've all of us who have used the adjuster frames find them to be really, really good.
Yes.
I think they're, I can never remember the name of the other.
Evertites?
Evertites, yeah. Now, I have some Evertites, and I like them, but I like the adjuster frames so much better.
Yeah, and I like the assembly of them better.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, and I think they are more stable. I do like them.
Yeah. And they do recommend, as Gary did, Gary Kaufman, that you buy the toolkit when you buy your first one. And I would echo that. I think Beth would too. So you get the nice wrench that you use to tighten the frames. It's worth it to get the toolkit the first time. It's a one-time purchase, and then you'll be glad you had it. You know, tack that onto your sale. So pumped up that is back in the world of needlework, because that's was a huge loss. Really was.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Nice to have.
Go ahead.
Say the name.
adjustaframesales@gmail.com, and then they'll send you a price list, and then you go from there. Yep.
Yeah. So another sad loss is Kreinek has retiring another color.
Yeah.
So there's two. One is the electric blue, which is 029L. And then there's the purple, which is 026L. So I'm kind of wondering if it's the L part, because it's a luster, I think was what the L stands for. But I don't know. It's something in their raw materials that they're not able to get. So Kreinek still has some. And so you should contact your shop. If you're in the middle of a project, you might want to go and look and see that you have plenty.
Yep.
Those colors. And they're beautiful colors. I mean, those are colors I would
use.
They
really are, aren't they?
Like, oh, maybe I ought to check and see if I have some in my stash. And if I need to add a few more, you know, just to have, because they're beautiful. They're nice. They're bright. But yeah, purple and electric blue. It's terrible that they're still having problems getting raw material.
Yeah, it's got, you know, from a pure business perspective, that is going to be so incredibly frustrating for Kreinek. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff that you make that's part of your line, and you have to literally take it out of the line because you can't get materials. That's just got to.
Right. And you can understand discontinuing a color because it's just not popular for those reasons. But that you can't get the raw materials it's got to be terribly frustrating, right?
Yeah, having the choice made for you rather than, mm-hmm. you know, and look, this isn't selling. We got boxes of it. We're not making any more. Yeah.
Right.
But, when somebody else dictates how you do your business, that's tough.
Right.
So it's too bad. Yeah. Yep. But, you know, and that underscores what we've talked about before. If you start a project, make sure you get enough thread.
Yes.
So you don't get caught short, or you don't get caught with a dye lot that doesn't match. Make sure you have enough thread to do the project and have some left over, because nothing worse than getting a year and a half down the line with a painted canvas and you can't get a thread. and it's not made anymore. And it happens not just to Krynek. It happens to all the thread makers.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you can't get a thread, and you're posting hoping someone has it in their stash, and someone always does. You know, it's
right.
But you just don't want to be in that spot.
Right. And some of these threads are harder to blend together. So like if it's a floss and you notice that you have a dye lot change between two flosses, you can blend those generally together and make it, you know, uniform, but not with these single stranded, like the Krynek, it does change, dye lots.
Yeah.
And, then you're stuck because you, it'd be totally different color and it'll stand out like a sore thumb.
Yep. Yeah. Every time that subject comes up, it reminds me in our first apartment, in the living room, Marga and I were painting one wall, an accent wall, and it was a dark maroon. I guess maroon is dark, by nature. Right. So we bought a gown. We thought it would be enough. It wasn't. So we went back and got another gown. And, you know, we're young, stupid, and whatever. And just start painting. Get it all done. Stand back. They didn't match.
Oh, no.
Yeah, basically, this jagged stripe down the middle of the wall. And, you know, of course, right in the middle, too.
Right. Yeah. And you can't cover it.
No. So, every time dye lots come up, I remember that. And we stand back so proud of ourselves, young, you know, newlyweds, apartment, making it our own. And it's like, oh, geez.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. You learn to blend your buckets of paint before you.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Never forget that. So,
learning experience.
Yep. Blend your threads. Blend your threads.
Half a hard line. Terrible.
You know, it was just one of those things. And we did fix it. I mean, obviously you
have to.
Yeah.
You just, because it would drive you bonkers.
Right. It's all you see. Yeah.
Right. What do? You got to fix it. It's
Not fun. So, frustrating for, that's going to be so frustrating. Well, the whole supply chain thing is so frustrating. Shops, you know, everybody, and it continues. And the magazine that I edit for plant manufacturer, for reliability and maintenance people for plant manufacturers, it's the same problem. It isn't just the needlework industry. It's a universal problem. And one of the things that, you think it's bad for needleworkers, one of the things for manufacturers that we are have some emphasized coverage this next year is cybersecurity with your suppliers. You know, as you're exchanging data and orders and everything, how do you know that your suppliers are secure and that you're not providing access to your plant networks? And yeah, exactly. And people have had that where a sloppy vendor allowed someone into their plant and caused a problem. And so it's just a universal thing, and vendors can't get materials, and
you make me smile because my son is working on chips that are to help make things more secure. And that's his job is right now is developing chips for cybersecurity.
Uh-huh.
So when you say that, I'm like, okay, I at least know what you're talking about.
Yep.
Somewhat.
Serious problem.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And here just recently, last couple, 3 days, you know, down in the Carolinas, you know, somebody shot up a substation, and now people, you know, a lot of people are without power. You know, everybody's trying to hit utilities, and you know, all these people have nothing better to do than be destructive. And so you end up having to those things, you talk about supply chain, large power supply equipment that doesn't just show up tomorrow.
No,
you don't just call and FedEx brings it tomorrow. That stuff has to be built, and they have supply chain problems, and yeah, it's
And personnel problems, and you know, it's the whole nine yards. So yeah, so be patient with your. The bottom line of this is be patient with your needlework store. They're trying their best to get you the supplies you want in a timely manner. Just find another project to work on if you're waiting for a thread.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just it. Yeah. None of us is sitting around with that one project in hand and nothing else to do. Yeah.
No,
We all have plenty.
So. Yes. Multiple.
Go work on it till your stuff shows up. They're trying. Believe me, they're trying. Every one of them. They want to sell product just as bad as you want to buy it. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Got to be patient. All right. Painted canvas. You posted the other day. Looked like you're about at the end of the lizard thing.
Yes, I am. I put the border on. The border is all stitched. I am now stuck on the bearded dragon's head.
You saved it to last, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And actually, I'm glad I did, because it is going to be the focal point of the piece. And so I had to rip out some around the lizard. His body wasn't, I didn't stitch it correctly. It just, every time I looked at it, I could see a little bit of pink canvas under a section. And I was like, okay, I have to cover that. That has to be, it draws my eye. I see it every single time. Uh-huh. So I took it and ripped that out, took the time to rip it out and restitch it. And now I padded the head a little bit. And now I've got to put ultra suede on top, because that's how I think I'm going to do it. Jane Woods of Chili Hollow fame commented on one of my pictures, and she said, why don't you, do the ultra suede like you said, but just fringe the back of the neck.
Oh.
And I was like, that's brilliant. It'll be fast. Once I get that applique down, and I have only appliqued a couple of times on needlepoint canvas. One was an Orna Willis piece, actually.
Oh.
So I have a huge piece of ultra suede. I found it at an estate sale of all places. And it's a huge piece. I mean, it's like maybe half a yard, which is big for needlepoint, right?
Yeah.
So I have plenty to play with. So if the first time it's not right, I can rip it out and redo it. But I'm hoping before the end of the week that that's done, because it is so close, so close.
Now, is this still intended as a Christmas gift for your son, or what are you doing?
Well, I'm thinking I'll probably give it to him and say, this is going to be yours. But my friends at the Guild have suggested that I put it in the ANG National Seminar Show.
Oh.
They said, and I said, but it has so many mistakes. And they're like, Beth, yeah, it's going to be critiqued. You're going to get a judge. They're going to point out all your mistakes. They said, but it really looks cool. You really ought to put it in the show. And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to hold on to it until the show.
Excellent.
I've got to get it framed up. So, and put it in. I'm just going to have to. I've never done that. I've never put anything in a national show. So this will be it. And I know it has mistakes. I know there's many mistakes in the background. But that's all right. That's all right.
Yep.
Just turn it, but just so other people can see it.
Yep. Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, great. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. Plus, yeah, some, critique can be a little nerve wracking, but you'll probably learn.
Right. Right. Yep. And hopefully they'll have some things that I already don't know, that I know there's mistakes in it. I can see my own mistakes, but maybe they'll have a suggestion that I didn't see, something they'll say, hey, you should have tried this, and they won't have a ton of time. ANG does get a ton of submissions for that show. So that's all right. It'll be fun.
Yeah, sure. Hey, you don't know till you try. So
that's right. That's right. Yeah. And I did have a lot of fun. I did have a lot of fun stitching that piece. It was a blast. So anyway. Yeah.
So okay. So that was going to be my question. Worth it. You got something out of it then?
Yes. I mean, I've had that canvas, I know, since 2003. So it was past time to put needle and thread to it. And I'm glad I did. Now it makes me want to go see, okay, I have other painted canvases.
Uh-huh.
It was so much fun. I want to go frame up another one and look at it. Because you have to look at it for a while and then stitch them.
Yeah. Hey, so, good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, anxious to see the finished piece, which when you're that close, yeah, you got to drive it home. Yep.
Right, right. And I can't just let it. I'm at the point where I can't say, okay, I'll do this after Christmas. No. I mean, no one's here. None of my kids are home yet.
Yep.
I'll just have to just get my head down and do it. Just stitch it down. Stitch it down.
Pound
have you
away.
Ever have you ever done ultra suede? Applique ultra suede?
No, no.
Okay.
No, no help. No.
Yeah, I
yeah,
don't know.
Somebody was using that quite a bit. Who was that? I'll think
it's Orna. Orna Willis uses ultra
yes.
suede a lot.
There you go. Well, when we talk to her, there you go.
There I go. I'll have to ask her.
Advice get from some... Orna.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Yep.
That's what I need. Yeah.
She'll know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yep. She will. So, yes, she will.
So listen Sunday for advice on ultra suede.
Because I need help, and we're going to ask Orna.
Yep. So there we go. Yeah, we have yet to record that, so we'll, yep, advice from Orna coming up. There we go.
Yeah.
Another thing
add it
on
to
the
our
list.
Add it to the list. Add it to the list. So I wanted to ask you, are you really going to try to do the 10 stitches a day on a project?
I really am. I've been doing some serious thought, and I am going to, I'm going to set up one of these samplers, the bigger reproduction samplers that I have. I'm going to put that on my stand, and because I have two of them that are about two-thirds done, and the one that I want to give to our daughter, I'm going to put that on my stand, and that's, yeah, I'm going to commit myself to do, even if it's 10 minutes before I need to go to bed, I'm going to commit to doing at least 10 stitches a day on that thing and get it finished and just leave it set up, you know, put a cloth over it or something, but just keep pounding away at it rather than trying to sit down and have sessions with it. I mean, I'll do that as I can, but yeah, I really have been thinking so little stitching gets done in this room, and I'm going to set up the Lady Mary Gann Rogers piece because I really like that and I want to get that done. And I'm just going to set these things up and leave them and then just move the stands in and out from where I like to sit and work away at them. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that the one time I did like the 10 stitches a day, I found a piece. I wanted to finish something. I wanted something that by the end of the year, I'd have something done. And the piece I chose was something, a gift from my mother-in-law. And so I actually did the math. I said, okay, it's actually was like 12 stitches a day is what I had to do. But I didn't, at the time, I couldn't necessarily pull that piece in and out every day. It wasn't something I could just leave sitting out. It was small, but that didn't work. But I always, well, not always, I had a lot of Sundays where I was at church early with my son. He was working the sound booth.
Uh-huh.
So I had no one's there. It's an hour before church starts. And that's when I would work on it. I would do all my stitches during that time period.
Oh.
And so I think by saying, okay, I'm going to do these 10 stitches right before I go to bed, if that's a good time for you, or before I start work or at the end of a work day, I'm just going to say, hey, I'm going to take 15 minutes. I'm doing it. Whatever it takes. Sometimes having that mentally plan that time, then it's more likely to become a habit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that's what I need to do is I need to get it to a habit level where it's not something you forget. It's something that you know you're going to do every day. And
Right.
But yeah, I want to start getting some of these things moved along here. And I have those two and my banding sampler that are all ones I'm excited about doing and I want to see reach a conclusion. And the banding sampler, I've been pounding at pretty good here because I see an end to it too. And then last week on the Stitch Hour, when Jennifer was showing me what I needed to do to make a point at the bottom of the banding, that gave me an end, and I'd already been thinking of how I was going to, get some cloth and put on the back to protect the stitching.
Right.
And you gave me the spool that I want to mount it on. And so now I see what the finished project is going to look like. And I'm like two thirds of the way there, and I gotta go.
Right.
So
right, there's something when you get to that end point where it's like, okay, everything else has got to, it's put away, and then you kind of focus on getting that finish done.
Yep. So that's
a beautiful piece.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful piece.
Yeah, I really like it, but I kind of amused myself because I got it seemed like it needed a big element. With all these bands of stuff, it needed a big element just visually. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Bristol Sampler Charts. Dutch Treat Design was the one that I used, and there's a vase with some roses in it, and it's like it's 100 stitches high, and this is over one. All this is over one, so it's 100 stitches high, and I don't know, 50 or 60 wide, something like that. So I decided, all right, I'm going to plop this thing in about two thirds of the way down. Just to have that one big piece, and then at the bottom, then I'll continue with the band motifs, and it's going to look. I like it. I think it was a good move. But the thing that entertains me is all these bands that I've been doing all along. Once you get the pattern, you don't have to look at the chart. You just go
right. Mm-hmm.
Well, this one I had to copy the vase and get out the markers. And start keeping track of where I was at with all the stitches, because now it's not just a repetitive thing; it's branches
right.
and leaves and buds and everything else. So,
right, right. So it's a little more complicated. It's all of a sudden it was going fast, and now it's
right.
slowed
yep.
down.
Yeah, the mindlessness went away. Now I got to actually pay attention. It's like, oh,
right,
man,
right,
what an idiot.
Right. Yeah. Right, and right at the end of football season too, where
right.
you're trying to watch the football games. I
right.
know, and I know.
So yeah, but it's the right move. I think it's going to look nice. So, but yeah,
yeah
I know,
yeah.
And I think I'm pretty sure I can finish it myself with a sewing machine and get it all done. So
it shouldn't be hard to add that to the back of it. Add
no.
some fabric to the back. No,
no,
no.
So yeah, I'm excited about that. Getting that, just been pounding away at that. That's been an exclusive thing. And, but I think I set this room up to be able to handle that kind of stuff, and I'm just going to do it. So,
yeah, well, good, good. It'll be fun to see what you, what you accomplish in 2023.
Yeah. Well,
if you can stick with that.
My plan is to accomplish something anyway. yep. So, yeah, but the 10 stitches a day, that seems to me, if I can just, and that's the habit thing, do you do it every day for what is it, 20 days or something? What causes
it? I think it's more like a habit, it's more like 45.
45?
Okay. 45 days to get into the habit of doing it.
Okay, so I got to get all the way into February, and then it's a habit, okay?
Right, right. And then you can't beat yourself up if something happens one day and you miss a day.
Yeah.
Say, that's okay. That was yesterday. Today is today, and we're gonna do it today.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So that that was your idea there, or something you got from someone else. But anyway, I'm glomming onto it, and we're gonna see if we can put it to use.
Yeah.
Here, so
sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
It'll be fun.
We got a post. It was when I posted the description for Helen Stevens. And in that description, I referred to needlework as a hobby. And a lady on Facebook, Carrie Eddy, I assume it's a lady, should be a lady, posted, "Please stop calling it a hobby. It's a legitimate art form." And, with an exclamation point. Okay. Sorry, Carrie. But it kind of, I have to say, it ruffled my feathers a bit, that statement, because we all of us at Fiber Talk, from day one, I think I can safely say, have promoted needlework as an art form because we believe it is.
Yes.
Without question.
Right.
And I just wanted to talk about that question of, is it art or is it a hobby? And then the word that I will not use is craft. Because right. I just don't want to associate needlework with a craft or with women's work. Mm-hmm. I hate that. It is an art form. It truly is an art form. And no matter what, whether you're just imitating or executing a design or creating your own, you're still creating a piece of art in a way, however you look at it. But, and I use the word hobby sparingly. And when I use it, I must say I think twice about it. But sometimes, you just have to have another word. And so I use a hobby every now and then. But to a lot of people, it is a hobby.
Right. Right. And I like Jennifer's comment. She wrote, to me, a hobby is anything you do for enjoyment that has nothing to do with making money to support yourself or your family. A hobby to some may be art or work for others. And I think most of us look at our needlework as our hobby. I don't look at it as I'm doing great and fantastic art that's going into an art gallery, but it's something I do because I enjoy it. I'm not trying to sell it, like Jennifer said. I'm just enjoying the process. But there are people like Helen Stevens, Orna Willis. Their work is definitely art. There's no way you can get around it. What they do is art.
Right.
If I'm imitating them, fine, that's great. Imitating their art form. But it's not definitely not a craft.
No.
Definitely not a craft.
No. It's not popsicle sticks and glitter. No.
No. No. No, 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 no.
But just to establish, we view needlework as an art form, right along with painting and drawing mm-hmm. and sculpting and all the other things. I mean, that's the way we view it.
Right.
And that's the way we treat it. We do not treat it as a hobby, but it is a hobby. It is the escape. It's the thing you can do in the evening to relax, to enjoy. There's no pressure to make money. There's no pressure to have an exhibition. So that, right. That falls into that hobby category.
Right. And here's the other thing. I dabble in painting, mixed media. Do I think my mixed media necessarily is the highest form of art? No, but it's not a craft either.
No.
It's a hobby. It's something I do on the side because I enjoy it. I find it relaxing. I get to play with color. Same reason I play in needlework. I get to play with color. I find it relaxing. But it's definitely art. It's not, it is, there's no other way to describe it. When you go and you start looking, go through Pinterest and put up needle weaving and see all the beautiful art. There's no other way to describe it. It is art.
Yeah. Well, you're painted canvas, that somebody painted that design, but the end result is your art.
Right.
You figured out the stitches, the colors, how you wanted to execute them, where you wanted them, all of that. And it becomes an art form. And yeah, sure, people offered input along the way. You took that. Some of it you rejected. Some of it you kept. Some of it you kept and modified. But
right.
it's you. It's what came out of your head in the final analysis. And that is an art piece. It's not, but that's your hobby. That's what you do for enjoyment, for relaxation. You're not trying to make a... you're not making a dime off of it. It's costing
right,
you money.
Right.
But you know, that's so that becomes a hobby, but it's an art form. There's no question about it. And you know, that was just that we promote it that way when we talk to people. I mean, Helen Stevens, that whole conversation is about her art.
Right.
Upcoming
Sharon Wells.
Holy smokes. If that isn't art, I don't know what is.
Right. And some people, so some people would say, well, needle felting, that's a craft. No. Mm-mm. What she is doing is art. There is no doubt about it. That is art.
Yep.
And yeah.
And art all the way through, because she's starting with the rawest of raw materials.
Yes.
And creating the materials that she needs to create her art. I mean, all the way through, she is a pure artist. Yeah.
Right. And we're talking to Orna, again, another artist, very much so an artist. And we always say it's art. It's when we speak to people. But for some people, part of it being art is it's their hobby. They're not selling their work. They're not, it's something they do for relaxation and fun. Now, in 100 years from now, will someone look at their piece and say, okay, that's a piece of art, you know, sell it how about all those reproduction samplers those little girls are doing?
Yeah.
You know, how much do they go for at auction houses?
Yep.
Anymore.
Yeah. And
we're reproducing them.
Yeah. And in that time, that was viewed strictly as women's work.
Right.
You know, and today we view that as art. And we reproduce it because we want our own. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it just, and we have been consistent. You know, it was the kind of thing that if you're a regular listener, you know that we view needlework as an art form. We talk about it in that context all the time. But I don't think you can separate it from the word hobby because of how it functions for needleworkers at all levels and in all areas. It's your escape. You're not trying to make money. You're not even trying to cover expenses for the most part. Right. It's what you do because you enjoy it. You gather with friends because you enjoy it. So Jennifer had it right with anything you do for enjoyment, nothing to do with making money or support yourself or your family. But it's still the end result is an art form. It really is. Yep.
Yes. Right.
You know, needle painting.
Yes.
You know.
How do they do that? It's just.
Yep. You know, you just take that for example, Trish Burr. You know, if you think for a second that's not art when she creates any of her pieces. It's just gorgeous. It's all done with needle and thread, but it, you know, those birds from a distance, they look just as real as any photograph or any painting. Sometimes more so. And yeah. So anyway, just couldn't let that go by. Didn't want to get into an online Facebook fight because those things always deteriorate. But
quickly.
But you just have to. We view it as an art form, always have and always will. And when we interview people for Sunday shows, we're interviewing artists, plain and simple, all the way. So
right.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think what ties into this too is the practice. I think I'm kind of excited that you're setting up your needlework room to practice your art every day. I think to get better at it, all these people that when we talk to them, I think the difference sometimes between that next level of us as hobbyists versus someone like Helen Stevens or Orna Willis is they give themselves permission to play with the needle and thread, to experiment and to fail. And I think sometimes we as hobbyists don't always give ourselves that permission.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, we, We were like, oh, well, like even my painted canvas, I could go and point out all my lovely little mistakes. But, if I had stopped and not kept going and said, well, I've made too many mistakes. This is just a failure. I'm just going to go throw this back in the basement. I don't think I would have learned as much. When I started stitching and I didn't know what I was going to, I knew a few things, what I was going to start with on that canvas, but just the playing and the experimenting with it, I learned so much.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, okay, I would like to pull out another painted canvas and okay, now what can I do? Okay, let's go look at something else I have that I don't have a clue is what I'm going to stitch on it. Let's start playing. And I think it moves you forward. That asking that what if, how can I do this? And it moves you from maybe that hobbyist, or you call yourself a technician of needlework. I've heard you call yourself that. But moving up to kind of pushing the boundaries a little. I think too, sometimes when I think of artists, I think of them as pushing that boundary. When we talked to Helen Stevens, that was kind of my, what she was doing, no one was doing at the time.
Yeah.
And so she was pushing those boundaries. Same with Orna, her color compositions. She is constantly pushing that boundary, saying, okay, what can I do? What can I do with these colors together? What can I do with these threads? How can I take this stitch and change it just a little to make it more uniquely my own?
Yeah. And how does she do that? You look at her pieces and you go, those colors shouldn't work.
And right.
They work every time. And just
they do. They do. But she's willing to push those boundaries to say, mm-hmm. okay, the Needlepoint Police don't live at my house.
Right.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to play with this. I'm going to experiment.
Yep.
And
yeah.
And I think that's what we need to look at.
Yeah. And that's all art in one form or another.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. We believe it's art.
We believe it's art.
We ain't changing our minds.
It's just art.
Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. All right.
No.
That's it. We're done. Adjust the frames at adjustaframesales@gmail.com. No stitch hour tonight. Next week, Natalie Dupuy will be with us on Wednesday night. We get to look in her suitcase full of whips. Oh,
that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's, somebody at her level. What does she have for whips? Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Sunday is Orna Willis, Sharon Wells on the 18th, and all the other things we talked about. Thanks for listening.
Bye.